It has been 106 sessions since I began in 2020 this raw material. We have arrived at the end, the last part of 106 sessions, and I believe this will be a very proper ending. Let's finish this. I must confess that I had no idea how to begin this last part of session 106, but I do believe that this is, like I said, a very proper ending to these 106 sessions. I'm going to cover, of course, the last couple of questions that we have in the material, all of them being personal. If you can see that session 106 has been mostly about the health of the three of them as they go through this process of readapting themselves to moving into a new state and then moving away from the state again. So all of that, I believe if we go through it, I'll be able to do that part, which I promised in the last episode, where I'll talk about Don and Carla's transfer. And there's going to be more about that. And yeah, we're going to give a proper conclusion to this. Before I get into it, of course, I want to talk about my friend Dream State Logic, or actually Colby, if you follow his name. He's the one that does all the music for the background. I mean, he does his own music. He doesn't do it for me, but is the music that I use in the background. And appropriately, guess what? He's coming out with an album now in August and should be out by the time this episode comes out. And as you can see, the name of this song is very appropriate, and you will see why. This is something that was part of, speaking of the raw material, it's very synchronistic how I found Colby and how we started talking, and knowing that he was a Law of One student, his music was just excellent to me. And I just decided to put it in the background of all my episodes. And every time he came out with an album, he's producing like sometimes 2-3 albums a year. There was a very important moment in the material. And I guess I'm not surprised at this point that he came out with a new album just as I'm finishing this. And I'm using his song Universal One. Again, you will see why. Universal One is so appropriate, especially for Ra's last words in the material. And yeah, if I don't forget, I'll mention it again. And his album is Cosmic Legacy, another, I guess, synchronistic name for, you know, the end of this material, which again has taken over 4 years for me to cover. Interestingly, it was about 3 years that took them to create the material itself, even though it didn't take them exactly 3 years to do most of the sessions. And I remember Scott Mandelker, when he did his covering of the material, I think it took him 5 years also or so. So it seems to be like a standard to cover this material. It's 4 books, or actually 5 if you include, you know, the excluded material and the Q&As, or rather the commentary from Jim and Carla. So yeah, interesting things about the raw material and its coverage. So that's all I have to say in terms of introduction. Actually, the last thing I would have to say is thank you everybody for just going through this material with me, and those who have recently found the material and my podcast, as well as those who have been from the beginning or from the very near beginnings of 2020. So thank you so much all, especially for the support. I never say this at the beginning of my podcast, but I'll say it now. I'm ending the material, and I will be doing, of course, more podcasting, talking more about the direction of the mystical invitation that all of this Law of One invites us into. But I would appreciate your support in Patreon. I think it's the best platform that I have. There are many ways you can support me, what I do. But I think Patreon is possibly the best. You can find in the description the link to my Patreon, and you can choose any support subscription that is feasible for you. It's not necessary, of course. I will continue to do this regardless in my spare time, and everything that I can do, of course, to further this message, not only the Law of One, but just the practical understanding of unity and reality as one. So again, this will continue on, no worries. There will be much more, especially in the raw material. I'll cover more things that I keep finding. So yeah, very long introduction. Let's get into the first question that I have left from the first episode. And here's Don in question 15 saying, would Ra recommend, let me put it this way, would Ra think that surgery in my case would be of any help? Ra says, we assume you speak of the colonic indisposition and its potential aid by your chirurgeons. Is this correct? And by the way, I don't think in my introduction I mentioned much of this, but the personal material that we're talking about here is about, obviously, Don and Carla mainly. And Don, for the first time, is asking questions about himself and his health and what he can do to improve it. That's not true. He actually asked before, but this is the first time that he's actually asking for advice as to what to do. And the other interesting thing, I found this little things that are probably of no importance, but that's just my mind. This is the first time that I can recall Ra saying, if you're on YouTube, you can read it again. When Ra is actually saying, you are talking about this, is this correct? And you see the answer that Don has, it's usually when Ra says, yes, this is correct. So they kind of exchange their roles there. I thought it was interesting and funny at the same time. So yeah, Ra says, as an answer to Don's answer, says, again, I am Ra. Please blow across the face and heart of the instrument. I guess there were some channeling issues, some disturbances in Carla's energy field. That's my ignorant view of it. And then Ra says, after they have done what he suggested, I am Ra. We shall continue. The atmosphere has been meticulously prepared. However, there are those elements which cause difficulty to the instrument. The neuroasthenia, I have no clue what that is, of the right side of the face being added to other arthritically energized pain flares. I honestly did not do my homework, and I don't know what neuro or neurasthenia is on her right side. It sounds like something in the nervous system, but I'm not sure. But the point is that she was having some physical discomforts, and that helped somehow metaphysically. Ra continues and says, such an operation for Don's colon would be of aid in the event that the entity chose this physical cleansing as an event which collaborated with changes in the mental, emotional, and physical orientations of the entity. Without the latter choice, the distortion would recur. So this is not my field, but it seems rather interesting that Ra says you have to take care of your mind, otherwise whatever you do will return. And we see this in many pathologies, let's say, of the body, in which we have found clever ways to manipulate tissue and other organs through medicine, through intervention, surgery, and so on. And by the way, the word chirurgeons, it's a very archaic word for surgeon, if I didn't mention it before. It's a word that Ra has mentioned like 2-3 times in the past. But yeah, in any case, we have devised these clever ways of healing, fixing the body, only to find that it recurs. So why is that? Because we're still producing the root cause of the ailment. Again, this is not my field, but it's something that I think we all know at this point, that the root cause of disease is in the mind and it's not such in the body. And some of the so-called disease or conditions of the body are actually ingrained in our minds, meaning that that's how we are and there's no fixing it. I always use my condition of asthma, which was somehow prevalent when I was a kid, but as I grew up it went away, and for the past years I haven't had anything. I'm lucky that I don't get sick, and that helps, of course, because I only get asthma when I'm sick, but I know that it's there. You know, whenever if I get sick, I will feel asthma. So can I heal it? No, that's a condition. It's already ingrained in my mind. And believe me, people tried, trying to heal that. It doesn't go away. So yeah, interesting that Don, of course, had to deal with his mental, emotional issues. So he was able to heal this properly from the root. Let's move to the next question. Don says, question 17. Now, summarizing what we can do for the instrument. Through praise and thanksgiving and harmony, we can, and he pauses and says, is that all that we can do other than advising her to drink a considerable amount of liquid and moving her into a better atmosphere? Am I correct in that? So once again, Don is emphasizing Carla's health over anything else, especially because Carla was the one that was mostly affected. And plus, he loved her. He loved her very much. That was his... The raw contact in Carla was everything for him. So he's going to continue asking on this, I think. Ross says, we examined the statement and find two items missing, one important relative to the other. I should have highlighted this part. This is beautiful. This part, when they say, the chief addition is the grasping of the entity's nature. The less important is, for little it may seem to be, perhaps helpful. That is, the entity absorbs much medication and finds it useful to feed itself when these substances are ingested. The substitution of substances such as fruit juice for the cookie is recommended, and further, the ingestion of substances containing sucrose, which are not liquid, is not recommended within 4 of your hours before the sleeping period. So two things. One, to me, is most important. I will, of course, as always, give my interpretation as to what Ra might have meant here, because this simple sentence, again, Don is asking, what can we do to help Carla or to improve her health? And Ra says two things. One, which chief addition, the most important one, is the grasping of this entity's nature. So the understanding of your own nature. I cannot help to think, and this is why I feel that this is just one of the meanings that Ra had, because honestly, Ra could have said, what's her nature in terms of service, for example. But I cannot help to bring it all the way down to what's the nature of ourselves. The nature of ourselves is awareness, oneness, the foundation, or as Meister Eckhart used to call it, the Grund, or the ground, the foundation of all being, God itself. That is the nature of ourselves. If we direct our attention there, it seems to me that our mind is so convinced otherwise that it looks at this proposition and says, yes, yes, we're all God, but look at all the stuff that we have. Look at all the things that we have to deal with. Plus, we do this, we do that. It always distracts you into the things that find real, those things are not real. The only true reality is the ground of being. And again, I'm not saying forget about everything, because that's not real. The only real thing is this, so you should be absorbed into nothingness. That's not a suggestion. It's actually to give precedence to that. You see, that's why Ra suggests this. This is important. You know, grasp the nature of your being. If you know what you're made out of, then all the things that seem real, right, they will gain a different quality to it. They will be much more appreciated, and you will not be confused by the perceptions of them, by the seeming necessity of them for our happiness, for our well-being. Doesn't this fall in line with Ra's, which they will repeat here, as they always did whenever it was needed? Doesn't it fall in line when Ra says, what is the best healing? What is the best way to go through these worries or whatever that is happening? What is the best thing that you can do? Remain in thanksgiving and harmony and joyful sharing and all of this. Why do they give so much preference to that over, you know, finding many things to do? Because that is the foundation. And when they refer to this, these are the qualities of being. These are the qualities of Carla's, yours, and my nature, of Ra's nature, of the universe nature, is the quality of being. So again, when we direct our attention there, is only to know that that is the only thing real, that everything else is dependent, everything else is temporary, and everything else is just a function of this reality. And when I say reality, I'm talking about this, the formless being, that which underlies everything. So that's what I find beautiful here. And again, like I said, Ra could have meant something else, but this is what I take out, and of course, what I would like to share with you. The other part, which, although it seems less important, it could be of some use, is the diet again. I don't blame Carla. I don't blame anybody in the 80s. I grew up in the 80s, and I actually was looking at some pictures of my, what was I, 3 years old or something like that. So it must have been 1985. 1985, I would say. And, you know, parties and things that we ate, we were pretty unhealthy in terms of what the diets, like the standard diets of what we have learned 40 years later, right? There is a difference in terms of what we know now and what they knew back then. So, for example, you know, that Ra has to tell Carla, don't eat a cookie with your medications before going to bed. Again, Carla's a special case. Even Ra recommended that she would eat certain foods, including, you know, sugary stuff and treats, because she was so dependent on it. So it's a very difficult case. I wouldn't use it, you know, as a standard, of course. But still, you know, these eating habits were present there. And to a large degree, of course, we haven't learned much. I mean, we have learned a lot, but not applied much. We can still revise our diets and see, why am I eating this? What's the purpose of this in terms of health? So, just these substitutions, of course, are, I believe, they're important for all of us, but especially for Carla here. There's something where they're saying that fruit juice may be ingested as a substitution for cookie, and I'll tell you why. They say also that the ingestion of substances containing sucrose, which are not liquid, is not recommended within four hours of sleeping. So before going to bed, don't have sugar. Sucrose refers to what we commonly know as table sugar, white sugar. It could be coconut sugar, even if it sounds healthier. Same thing. Sucrose is comprised of half fructose, half glucose. So why is this important? Because fructose, which is what they're recommending in fruit juice, is different than sucrose. So again, you know I get excited when I talk about this, and so I have to present it to you again. Why not? So what happens with fructose? Fructose gets processed in the liver. Totally, completely. Whereas sucrose, since it has 50% fructose, it goes into the liver and the other one goes into the bloodstream. This is not a problem, of course. We need glucose in the bloodstream. And as it goes into the bloodstream, you know, we get a spike in blood sugar levels. So that's regulated by insulin and so on. So there's a process going on there. Somehow that wasn't too preferential for Carla, especially before going to bed. And yeah, the fruit is definitely much more, well, it doesn't spike, of course, insulin and blood sugar levels because fructose goes directly into the liver. And so you see, there is a difference in terms of the reaction that happens in the body when you eat, in essence, fruits or, you know, sugar, table sugar or sucrose. So, small details. But yeah, Ross suggested that she doesn't do that, and she also substitutes basically these table sugar in the cookie, of course. What do we use in cookie? But table sugar. And just eat a fruit. That's another thing. I'm not even sure if they sell like fructose, because you might be tempted to say, I'm going to substitute my table sugar with just plain fructose. Don't do that. Just eat a fruit. The fruit has so many other things inside that, you know, it's the addiction to sugar that is the problem, or can potentially be a problem. Addiction is addiction anyway, right? But okay, let's move to the next question. Question 18, Don says, my experience with dehumidifiers indicates to me that it will probably be impossible to lower the humidity in that house much with a humidifier. Although we can try that, and probably if we do move in there, we'll have to move out very shortly. Is there anything further that need be done to complete the healing of Jim's kidney problem? So he goes from one thing to the other, completely different but not totally unrelated. Ross says, if it be realized that the condition shall linger in potential for some months after the surcease, or the ceasing of all medication, when he finishes taking all the medication, then care will be taken and all will continue well. We may note that for the purposes you intend, the location, and they said the address, whether humid or arid, is uncharacteristically well suited. The aggravated present distortions of the instrument having abated due to lack of acute catalyst, the condition of the location about which the assumption was made is extremely beneficial. Ra, always speaking in sort of riddles. Not riddles, but all riddled. So, again, for Jim and his kidney condition, if you know that the potential for, so the sensitivity, I guess, for this kidney disease that he had was possible to stay for a little bit more time, then all, you will take care of yourself, basically, if you know that you're going to be sensitive after you finish the medication. Which again, I remember as a child thinking, or seeing, you know, medication as you take this and you're done, you know, you're healed. But it so happens that you remain sort of weak after medication, so you have to go through, you know, some recovery process. Especially allopathic medication is very strong and it's very damaging to other parts of the body, so you need to recover from it. properly. Then about the humidity on the house or in the house. This is the house, again, that Jim still lives. And this is in Louisville. They basically moved out of Georgia within, I think, days of this channeling. Maybe weeks at most. But I think they got there in April, and this was in March, March 15, if I remember correctly. So by April, I want to say that they moved into Louisville back there. And it was a very nice place. It still is. But at the time, it was beautiful and angelical, like Ross said. They're going to talk more about this, but I'll just say that what Ross says here is that what I take out of that last long sentence, saying the aggravated present distortions of the instrument having abated due to lack of acute catalyst, the condition of the location about which the assumption was made is extremely beneficial. So I think what they mean is that Carla, having, you know, dealt with some of the most important distortions of that she was dealing with, moving into this new house would be extremely beneficial. So again, that's what I can make sense of, because it's not easily read. But okay, let's go to the next question. Don says here, then the effect of the, pauses and says, you were saying the effect of the humidity, and he pauses again, we will try to get it as low as possible, but you were saying the effect of the humidity is a relatively minor consideration when all the other beneficial factors are taken in with respect to Louisville, to the Louisville address. Is this correct? Ross says, yes. And then in question 20, Don says, I am quite concerned about the instrument's health at this point and must ask if there is anything I failed to consider with respect to the health of the instrument. You know where this is going, right? Anything at all that we could do for her to improve her condition other than that which has already been recommended. Ross says, as you would expect, all is most wholeheartedly oriented for support here. Perceive the group as here, a location in time-space. Within this true home, keep the light touch, laugh together, and find joy in and with each other. All is most fully accomplished, or plan for accomplishment. I recently made a comment in one of the Q&As. It's in one of these sessions. And I did an extract, I think, about too much worry. If you worry too much. And this is the antidote to that. Because it's normal. I think it's okay for us to worry. Especially when we don't consider this, which Ra suggested in a couple of questions ago. Grasp the nature of your being. Grasp the nature of yourself. We tend to worry too much. The reason why we worry is because we give too much credence, too much reality to objective reality, to us as an object, right? Me as an entity, the world as things that are affecting me, you know. We still look from the eye of, I am a victim. I am a potential victim, and I don't want to fall as a victim again, you know. But when you know the nature of yourself, and this informs your thoughts, the allowance of this knowledge in yourself begins to inform your thoughts, and things start to change, you see. And that again is what Ra points at here from my point of view when they say, first of all, that everything is well oriented. You guys are doing everything that is possible, meaning that given the conditions, you are doing precisely what you are meant to do, and that is perfect. And then they say, perceive the group as here. Where? A location in time-space, not a location in space-time. I mean, yes, we share space-time together, but our true location is that which we combine together, yes? That which we nourish together. And so, for example, in your house, in my house, the people who live there, right, the people you deal with, there needs to be a harmony there. There needs to be a recognition of what harmony is happening. And it starts with you. So if you begin to exude this harmony, everything else will follow suit, because that's what everybody is looking for, that precise harmony. And only you can feel that. Ra to me is mentioning again, you know, away from the house, the physical problems, away from, you know, the moving and the mold and the humidity and all of that, you're doing everything that is needed. Stop the worrying too much of, is it going perfect? Because if one thing fails, then everything else may collapse. I'm afraid of that. It's basically what Don is expressing here. And that is much more detrimental to the harmony than, you know, just having a little mold in the basement and Carla getting sick for 2 months or 3 months. Delaying the contact with Ra for a year, who cares? What's more important is what we're living here. We forget this. And I have my own parallel to make here in terms of spiritual work and doing it right and meditating properly and all of this. Why does this become a worry? When does this become a worry? Something that we need to be on top of. Am I doing something wrong? Did I say this wrong? Should I be more kind? Should I not have felt anger? Should I not? All of these worries are beyond, you know, the point of what we're doing here. What we're doing here is just becoming more harmonized with everything that there is. Sure, we're becoming more aware of things, but the more aware you become of them, the more they're supposed to enhance this capacity for you being able to accept them and just do not interfere, don't resist. All these things are sort of resistances. And what do they say again? Within this true home, what is the true home? It's not Georgia, it's not Louisville, it's not even their bodies, is the feeling. If you concentrate on the feeling of, you know, your house, I think about my own house, you know, the people that live here, and I see this as a merge of all these energies, and I say, this is what's happening now. So that is our true location. The harmony of the house is the true location. Well, within this true home, keep the light touch, laugh together, and find joy in and with each other. Simple. All else is most fully accomplished or planned for accomplishment. That's in their case, and I believe that if we don't worry too much about, or not even worry too much, we don't worry about what's happening other than taking the decisions that we know we have to take, that's it. That is the plan for accomplishment that we have. Next question. We're nearing the end here. A couple more questions and we're done. But in question 21, Don says, is it as efficacious to cleanse the house with salt and water after we move in, as it is to do it prior to? And he pauses as we move in. So basically, should we clean the house before or after we move in? Ra says, in this case, it is not an urgent metaphysical concern, as timing would be in a less benign and happy atmosphere. One notes the relative simplicity of accomplishing such prior to occupancy. This is unimportant, except as regards the catalyst with which you wish to deal. So, cleaning the house, doing that ritual cleansing before or after, Ra says that it's not such an urgent metaphysical concern, particularly in this house, because, as they said, It was a beautiful, well-maintained house, and in terms of metaphysic energy, they said, "Yeah, it's fine. You could do it before or after. It doesn't matter." With this particular house, in others, it might be more appropriate to do it before moving in, but not in this one. And that's it. And I would say this is the last exchange, not exchange, but true question about themselves as they finish this material. So, ready for this? Let's go. Don says, "Can you tell me what the instrument's difficulty was with her last whirlpool?" So, her last bath. Ross says, "The instrument took on the mental, emotional nature and distortion complex of the questioner, as we have previously noted. The instrument has been taking the swirling waters at temperatures which are too hot and at rates of vibration which, when compounded by the heat of the swirling waters, bring about the state of light shock, as you would call this distortion. The mind complex has inadequate oxygen in this distorted state and is weakened. In this state, the instrument having the questioner's distortion without the questioner's strength of the distortion, one might liken to the wearing of armor, began to enter into an acute psychotic episode. When the state of shock was passed, the symptoms disappeared. The potential remains as the empathic entity or identity has not been relinquished, and both the questioner and the instrument live as entities in a portion of the mental emotional complex of the instrument." I should read the last part where they say, "We may ask for one more full query at this working and remind the instrument that it is appropriate to reserve some small portion of energy before a working." So we get to the last question. Interesting, is a very mundane question. What happened the last time Carla was in the swirling waters of, I'm going to call it jacuzzi, although I'm pretty sure it wasn't a jacuzzi. It was something different. I just don't know the word for it. Whirlpool bath. I don't know. So what happened there? Pretty mundane question. I think it ends beautifully, appropriately. These are the type of things that I'll actually talk about in my reflections and lessons learned through the material, which are coming up next in this series. But let's talk about the answer itself. It highlights perfectly for me to end this episode with what I promised before, which was an explanation or to elaborate in the transfer, the energy transfer that happened between Don and Carla. And I will talk more about this, of course. This, to me, lays the foundation to talk about it. So let's just say, let's discuss what happened, and then we'll go deeper into what happened prior to generate this condition between Don and Carla. So, in essence, Ra is saying, since Don and Carla did this transfer, by the way, the transfer was that Carla suggested to Don, "Don, you relax, I'll take care of all the heavy stuff, I'll be the one tough and, you know, take on the serious face, and you can relax and be, you know, silly, you can be foolish." That's what Ra actually said here, if you remember from the last episode. I'm looking it up. Ra said, "The key to this deleterious working was when the instrument said words to the effect of the meaning that it would be the questionnaire and be strong, the strong one." See, that would be Carla. Carla said to Don, "I'll be the strong one here. You, the questionnaire, could be as me, small and foolish. And that was the sort of agreement that they had, and that created a shift in their energies. So who was Don? He was very strict, he was very serious, he was very, what's the word? Calculative. Yes, he was that type of guy. And Carla was, you know, the fairy. She was the open-hearted, you know, the little elf, and just happy, joyful all the time, loving. Don was very close to himself. Like he didn't like to take advice from anybody, and I know what that feels. I kind of associate myself a lot with Don in that regard, because I lived it myself for my own life experience. That's just how I developed. So I know how that feels. And Don, for the first time, kind of opened. And this is what release, what, again, I'll talk about in a minute, but it released this this opening of the heart for him, which is what Carla talks about in the commentary. And you can see the little things that change in Don, and the full impact of, you know, the opening of the heart. But in the case of Carla, Carla took on Don's role, right? I'll be the serious one, I'll be the strong one. And because of that, that's what Ra means here when they say that she took the mental, emotional nature and distortion of the questioner, which is Don. So what happened then? Because she was in this state, and this is something that Carla actually opens up her commentary in this session, when she says that she wasn't fully aware that Don was beginning to go into psychosis. Like, these were the beginning stages of him becoming psychotic. And so what is being said here? The same thing. Carla became a little psychotic. Why? Because she took on Don's condition. Don was paranoid. He was a paranoid person, and he was contained. He was fine all his life until the very end. That paranoia and that lack of desire to listen to somebody's advice or to ask for help, all of that compiled into just one big and put all of this, then he's opening his heart. So he's finally seeing, you know, that all of this is, it's kind of foolish, you know, to be paranoid obviously is foolish, to close yourself to people's advice or to listen to other people and, you know, shape your decisions based on that, it's also foolish. A lot of things, these are sort of armors that we create, and Ra talks about this, right? They say the instrument has been taken to swirling waters. Well, first of all, they describe the environment. They say that it was too hot and the rate of vibration of the water was too much, and compounding this, it caused a little shock, right? They say that in this state, in the state of hot water, too hot and too strong, the swirling waters, Ra says that in this state, having the distortions of Don's, but without Don's strength and armor, right? I'm paraphrasing what they said here. Without the strength and armor that Don had, and yet the distortions of his psychotic and paranoid, like, that was Don. She began to feel this, and of course, began to enter in an acute psychotic episode. I believe I read something, I just don't remember in which commentary, but Carla talked about this. Like, she came out of the bathtub all afraid, and she was like crouching behind the couch or something like that. I don't want to keep saying things because I don't know exactly what it was, but I know that she mentioned something like that. It might have been this episode when they found her, like, all, you know, naked and afraid, if you will. I think it might have been this time, but this is not in the commentary in this session. In any case, that's what happened. So because of this transfer of energy and personality or distortions, Carla was susceptible to this type of psychotic episodes. Then Ross says that when the shock disappeared, then... Yeah, no, when the shock disappeared and the symptoms disappeared. The potential remains as the empathic entity, identity, second time I say entity. The potential for this happening remains because they haven't surrendered yet this agreement that they had. And both Don and Carla live as entities in a portion of Carla's mental emotional complex. So again, this is the condition that I talked about and the transfer of personalities or distortions basically by this suggestion that Carla had to Don. So I think I let the cat out of the bag at this point. But this is what happened. I can and will, this is what I said, I can do more honor to this in its own space, and I'll take it now as we finish. We have just the last question, the very last question left, and I'll leave it because it's beautiful, beautiful to end this material, to end this episode, to end this series, to end everything. I love it. It was like, it was meant to be that way. So before we get into that though, let's talk about Carla and Don. This exchange, if you can see, is Carla was very open-hearted to the point of martyrdom, something that they mentioned several times, and that was her. Yes, that's what she had in abundance. Her work was to balance this with wisdom, and that was her work here. A lot of love, a lot of compassion and surrender and giving herself through and through, and yet that was wanting of some wisdom. On the other side, Don was the opposite. It's not that he wasn't loving, it's just that he was closed with his heart. He wasn't very expressive of his heart. And of course, he wasn't aware of his own love. It just came out naturally, you see. So here's an interesting thing about, you know, a heart that is not closed and you're energizing the lower energy centers, right? The ego. But rather, it is close to the perceived self, right? You're kind of hesitant to show it, to express it. And yet, you know, Don was a really good person. He was a very kind person, and he obviously wanted great things for the world and for the ones that he loved. So his job was to open his heart so he could appreciate that which was informing his own expression, right? Because he was very wise, he was very intelligent, and he obviously did one of the most phenomenal things in history, which is to be able to create this space and this environment with Carla and Jim to channel a material that will be timeless as long as we're humans here, and it'll continue to provide. I feel that even if it has been 40 years, the raw material has not, it doesn't belong in this society yet. You know, it's I believe that's why it's not even considered. And it's understandable. I mean, think about it. We're still fighting politics, for example. We're still fighting race equality. We're still fighting all these things that are so basic. And yet we're talking about the raw material and unity in all of this. I mean, I'm talking about the collective, right? The collective mind, what's happening. But in the future, this will be much more relevant. It's my take, in my nuts. But I feel like this is a very powerful material that at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, it'll come out and be appreciated for what it is. And yeah, so Don was a really, you know, good-hearted person, but he himself did not allow that to be seen for himself and for others. So when they did this shift, then Carla started to feel more of his paranoia. Yes, she said that she was feeling more of, you know, his mind. I forget what the words that she used, but it was the dread and terror of looking at life this way. So she began to see this and she was affected by it. And Don became very sensitive all of a sudden. He started to miss Carla, get jealous of Carla. He even started thinking that he would lose Carla because Carla would leave him for Jim, even though the three were sort of threesome together. Don and Carla didn't have sex, but they were together, you know, and they were fine from the beginning. So Don, in essence, they were he was not in his right mind, of course. He was very affected. We started to see this a while ago. And he started deteriorating, you know, from his mental distortion towards, you know, fear and constant paranoia and so on. He wasn't grounded in that respect, and yet he was very sensitive. Carla mentions that there's a show I'm not even aware of, but it seems to be a show that it's not so moving. And then Don, who never cried, started crying watching the show, which again might have been like something. I'm even tempted to say that it was a comedian, right? Comedy show or something like that, where you wouldn't expect somebody to cry, you know? But he was so sensitive, and he would try to express this love too intensively to Carla at this point, doing strange things like watching her sleep, you know? He really became very disturbed. And this was all because his heart was opening, and he just couldn't deal with that. It was too strong, it was too intense. And, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, we can see this in so many ways in our society as to how we can become too obsessed. Yeah, that obsession comes from love, but that's not, you know, that's not a balanced love. That is the distinction that I always make between, you know, love as we know it and unconditional love. There's a difference there. There's a unconditional love is balanced. It doesn't have a specific, you know, discrimination, whereas conditional love is, of course, in the spectrum of obsession. Very mildly it could be, and you can say, no, I'm not obsessed, but yet you have a dependence on it. So that kind of thing, you know, and it expressed really, really strong in Don. Then what was for him to do? Well, to bring wisdom to this, but it seems like it was too much love to feel, and he felt lost at, you know, a way to balance this love, to bring wisdom to it. Because here's what I talked about in the last episode, spiritual work is, first of all, you have a perception of self, which is body and mind, that belongs to the first three energy centers. Once you move away from that, and it's not like ditching your lower energy centers, as some people may think, it's just to leave them as they are. Yes, I have a body. Great. Body is aging. Body will die. Yes, I have a mind. Mind changes. Mind evolves. Fine. What is left? Is it just body and mind? No, it isn't. Third density is characterized by self-awareness. Why is that? Because in self-awareness, you're not supposed to just stop at the mind and the body. You are meant to realize what is the nature, right? As Ron said in this session, the nature of yourself. Why is that? Is the nature of myself a body and a mind? Clearly not. The nature of my being, and again, self-reflection. You look at yourself and you see, I am a body and I am a mind. If you get stuck there, you get stuck in the lower energy centers. However, if you penetrate through this very convincing, I admit, perception of body and mind, you delve into the inner path, you go deeper and deeper, and you find, what I am actually is the transcendent one. Something that transcends body and mind. and it feels like peace. Initially, it feels like serenity. That's the quality of my being. From there begins spiritual work, right? This can happen subconsciously to a lot of people, or is happening, or it can happen consciously. You can do this work consciously. That begins to open the heart, right? Energy centers are only a vehicle, a means into which experience, which we call prana or simply life, can flow through, right? It can flow through my body and mind, and then it moves into my heart center. From the heart, I can open up and say, this is way more than what it's being perceived. That is acceptance, that is surrender, that is not allowing the mind to describe things for you, but rather to allow the definitions to come and be part of it, part of the game, but not the it. The it is what is. This is the acceptance of the heart. Now, this acceptance, of course, is seen as love, as, you know, I am fine with everything. I am okay with everything. And I actually want to do more of this. So you can see how you have to bring some sort of cap to this, right? You have to put a filter to all of this. And that is wisdom. You see what I'm doing here? We're moving from lower energy centers to the heart, to the wisdom chakra, which is the throat chakra, expression. This wisdom is what informs love, and love informs wisdom. This is the nature of spiritual work. Balancing the two is the prerequisite for indigo ray activation, or the last energy center that is balanced. The seventh is not balanced. It's a function of all the other six. So you see what I'm doing here? Again, heart and throat chakra, love and wisdom, love and light, balancing together, manifests as the indigo ray, that brilliance of the indigo ray, which is the view of the non-dual perspective. That is the opening of being as it is. And the more we work with love and wisdom, the more, of course, we crystallize this energy center, which is a poetic and metaphysical way to say that you become more one with everything. Not you as an entity, but this, you, the creator, you become the creator, basically. If you follow the disciplines of the personality, know yourself, here it is, accept yourself, yes, this is what I am, and I continuously work towards the informing of my thoughts through this recognition. And what is the result? Become the creator. So this is the basis of spiritual work. You allow this energy to not be hampered by all the ego control that is present in each and one of us, each and every one of us. And that energy then can go to an impersonal self that is just allowing things to be. There is no ego involved in the heart. And that which is happening needs to be also filtered by wisdom. It needs to be brought into the light of understanding. And so that is the work. What does this have to do with Carla and Don? Well, that's what they came here. I feel, and this is just my speculation, that Don, of course, had a very close heart to himself, but he came here to open that heart, and that's what he did. That's what Carla says at the end. He opened his heart so fully that he was unable to sustain the effects of what this is, but he was able to experience it fully. It also leaves a lot to reflection, to think, because we usually feel that you know, people who open their hearts, they accomplish everything they came here to do, then they look different than somebody who committed suicide at the end, as Don did. But was he disturbed also metaphysically? Apparently not, because Carla saw him like three times in waking visions, and Don was happy and saying everything went as planned, everything was went perfect, everything is in balance, everything is fine. So even to our perceived reality, something that seems very disturbing, which again, obviously suicide is not the way to go, not to my understanding, but yet I don't understand anything. And I know that this could be, this could very well be, you know, an appropriate way of ending one's life. We have harakiri in Japanese culture, and it seems very honorable to do so. And, you know, that's suicide. Do we talk about that as being wrong? We don't know. We just don't know. I believe that if you're, I don't even know what to believe, to be honest. All I know is that it's not easy to make an assessment of these situations. But that's what happened with Don. And Carla, of course, was thoroughly affected by this. She spent like 7 years in, you know, in bed and in hospital bed and just physically destroyed after Don's death. She had to deal with a lot of regret and these thoughts that came back, you know, saying it was her fault, it's her fault. She wanted to die again, but she ended up not wanting to at the end. It was very dramatic. It's a very dramatic ending. But yeah, they left us this last piece of spiritual work, like I said, understanding the interactions between love and wisdom, and both representing strongly the extremes of both. Again, I have mentioned Scott Mandelker several times. He did a coverage. Me and him have been the only ones doing this 106 sessions, and I appreciate his comment. He sees it. I don't see it this way, to be honest. Not because I see it in a different, or I actually do see it in a different way, but I'm not in conflict with his view, which I'm going to share, which is that he says that they were both a higher self, and that higher self split into love and wisdom, Carla and Don. So they're in essence one being, and that's beautiful. I love that. I just don't see it that way because I have a different view on the higher self, and the notion or understanding of being as one. So yeah, I just don't see a separate entity called higher self that splits into two, especially wholeheartedly knowing that they were part of Ra. At least Carla and Don were part of Ra. I think most people who study the material agree with this. So weren't they Ra in the end? They weren't separate entities. So not really a higher self. But it's a beautiful way to put it, and I like it. I wanted to share that too. But that's it. That's all that I promise I had. We're going to extend ourselves a little bit because, hey, it's sort of like a goodbye party to the Law of One. At least in this format. Like I said, I'll continue to do more. But we have one last question, which we're kind of used to at this point, and let's cover it because that last part is gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. Final question. Question 23 of session 106. Don says, I would just ask if there's anything we can do to help the instrument and make her more comfortable or improve the contact. And what would be the soonest Ra would recommend the next contact? And I would certainly appreciate the return of the Golden Hawk. It gave me great comfort. Those last words from Don, they hit you right in the heart. Ra says, I am Ra. You have complete freedom to schedule workings. We suggest the nature of all manifestation to be illusory and functional only insofar as the entity turns from shape and shadow to the One. I am Ra. We leave you, my friends, in the love and the glorious light of the One Infinite Creator. Go forth, then, rejoicing in the power and in the peace of the one infinite creator, Adonai. Not only Don's answer, or actually question, is moving, especially when he says, and we would certainly, pauses and says, I would certainly appreciate the return of the golden hawk. It gave me great comfort. Knowing, of course, that Don was in just a couple of months to be dead, and all this drama unfold, all this incredible work to be finished, and yeah, even that last question saying, what would be the soonest Ra would recommend the next contact? We know there was not another one. And then Ra's answer. First, as they always said, it's your prerogative to schedule workings, not ours. And then this last part, which I highlighted for those who are on YouTube, when they say, we suggest the nature of all manifestation to be illusory and functional only insofar as the entity turns from shape and shadow to the one. And they're usually closing statements. But this part, this highlighted part in my slide, this is the way in which we finish the raw material. This is the way in which we give a conclusion to something that can be summarized right here as saying that the nature of all things, the nature of everything in manifestation, form is illusory. Form is temporary. It's a modulation of that which is real. And is functional, right? Form is only functional insofar as we, the entity, we turn from shape and shadow, from form and their shadows, where? To the one infinite creator. All of this that we have been experiencing, in so many ways we have said, and we have heard that you don't bring anything that you earn here to the grave, right? When you die, you don't take anything with you. That's the common way of saying it. Everything here is just a function of what does this all mean in terms of me, my real self. And you find that it's not about properties, popularity, wealth, things or achievements, and all of these things are just structures in which we move, but not the real self. The self is the one moving, and its nature is loving, is peaceful, is harmony, it's balance. All of that is functional as long as we look, we turn from shape and shadow, from form, into ourselves. Another invitation into the inner work, the inner path, the inner view, the insight of truth, of self, of beauty, of peace that resides within every one of us. As I said before, self-reflection being that which is the quality of humans and beyond, self-reflection gives us the direct path into the inside of who you are. Self-reflection, you're able to see yourself, look at yourself fully, see what you find. Stop reading, stop listening to me or anybody else. Stop listening to yourself. Look straight into that which you call I, myself, being. And you will find that which is the mystery of all of these materials, of all of these words, the resolution of all the paradoxes, and so on. The reason why it's called mysticism is not because it really is a mystery. It's a mystery to the mind and to the ego. It will always be a mystery. It's mysticism because it's too obvious, and we just miss it. We miss it entirely as we look into shape and shadow. So turn away, look back into yourself, and find the one. This is it. This is all we got for session 106. I had nothing else planned to say here. This is a beautiful way to end the sessions. It's been a journey. It's been great to do all of this. I have compiled some things that I want to share for my lessons learned and reflections. I'll probably do one or two episodes talking about this, and then I will continue with my work in terms of spreading this message, talking about this path in the various ways that I find in my own life. That will be the continuation of this work that I do. And my desire is just for you to also embark in this practical aspect of living the Law of One, living the non-dual understanding. These are the only important things. Everything else just becomes, structures, like I said. You don't live the structures. They become, or they are, you know, the teaching, the finger pointing at the moon. We want to look at the moon. How do we look at the moon? Well, that's what I'm dedicated at, and I'll continue to do that. But again, this is not a full goodbye. It's just a goodbye to the raw material. Gratitude and blessings to all of this beautiful journey that we have taken. And we will move into the last couple of episodes of this podcast in this particular series. And that would be my reflections and lessons learned throughout the material and other things to come. Thank you again for being part of this long journey. I appreciate you. And I have nothing else to say, but I appreciate you. And I'll see you in the next episode. Thoughts, reflections, and lessons learned. See you then.